we daven for a lot on Rosh Hashanah, and we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the basis of many different factors, which we believe enables those requests, and hopefully expedites those requests. So, for example, we petition on behalf of the Bris, probably the most dominant motif of Rosh Hashanah, Baruch Atah Hashem Zocher HaBris. V'akedas Yitzchak Hayom Berachamim Tizkor. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu on behalf of His Chesed. We ask Him for Chesed L'cha Hashem Hatzdaka V'lanu Boshe Safanim. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to perform Tzedakah for us. We don't deserve it. We ask for free and undeserved mercy and rachmanis. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu based on certain zechuyos. Zechus is different from a bris in as much as a bris is a long-term covenant. The zechus is a merit. Typically a bris would be seen as more enduring, but a zechus may be more powerful in some cases. One of the words that sometimes gets lost in the shuffle, and one of the elements which we base our tefillos on, is a shvuah. Uzecha lanu hayom es habris, v'es hachesed, v'es hashvuah she'nishvata l'Avram Avinu b'har Moriah. In fact, the pasuk describes the shvuah: b'nishvati ne'um Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took an oath to Abraham that his children would multiply, they would receive the blessings, v'sbarchu v'zaracha. Sometimes the shvuah, in part because it's certainly less poetic, it's more contractual, in part because we live in a world in which we avoid shvuahs for various reasons, the act of taking an oath. Sometimes in Rosh Hashanah, our imagination is riveted upon the bris, upon the chesed, upon the schus, but not as much upon the shvuah. And it doesn't, the terminology of shvuah doesn't appear that often in our davening. But there was one Tana who felt that he wanted to showcase the shvuah. And he found a textual reference point. Rabbi Berechia used to refer to Tishrei, which has so many names. Chodesh HaShvi, Tishrei, from the language of releasing Tishrei v'Tishbok, all of our deserved penalties or commitments should be released. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu Navinu Malkeinu Mechok Shtarich Avoteinu. It's referred to as Yerach HaIsanim, the month of the Titans, because it was the month of the Avos were born. So many nicknames. Rabbi Berechia called it Yerach HaDeShavuasa, the month of the oath, the month of the Shavuah. It's more Shavuos than Shavuos, we could say. Of course, the word Shavuah, with regard to Matan Torah Shavuos, refers to weeks. Here it refers to an oath. And of course, he inferred this from the pasuk B'chodesh HaShvi'i, the month of Shavuah, Shavu Nishba HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Avram Avinu. Now, it wasn't clear exactly why there is a need for a Shavuah. If there's already a bris, and that bris contains certain distinct elements. So this was a question posed by Rabbi Yochanan. Why was there a need for a Shavuah? And what were the terms that framed the Shavuah? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, Avram stands on top of Har Moriah and he actually elicits the Shavuah. He actually solicits the Shavuah. He says, Ribbono Shel Olam, I could have wondered extensively about this request, about this instruction, about this mission. You promised me that Yitzchak will be my progeny, ki bi Yitzchak yikar lechazara. And then moments later, proverbially, you asked me to sacrifice that son. I didn't question. I didn't doubt. If anything, I suppressed my human intuition. I suppressed human questions. I didn't retort. I want, Avram says, that same type of suppression. When my children fail and fall, remember this moment. I want you to be filled with mercy, have pity on them, and convert Midas Hadin to Midas Harachmim. I'm reading you loosely from the language of the Psikta Derev Kahana. This is a famous Shavua, which some people say during Karbanos, that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that just like Avram Avinu, we recite the Akedah, just like Avram Avinu suppressed his mercy, But according to this matters not just his mercy, but his own inquiry, his own intellectual questioning. Similarly, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to suppress his anger when we fail and have mercy upon us. Hence, we recite the Shavua. Hence, it's referred to as Chodesh HaShvi, or as Rav Barachia said, Yarcha Deshvuasa. How does a Shavua supersede a bris? Historically, why does Avram Avinu suggest, request the Shavua when he already has formed a bris with the Kodesh Baruch Hu? And the very nature of a bris is that it's everlasting in a way that Tzchus can't, or is it? The very famous Gemara in Shabbos. Gemara announces, very unqualified, that the Tzchuyos of our fathers have already expired, at which point Tosfos says, how do we daven? By mentioning and invoking our Avos. And Tosfos draws a very important distinction between Tzchus Avos and Bris Avos. Tzchus is a merit, reciprocation, compensation, reparation. Person performs a favor, he deserves compensation, reciprocal favors, either himself or his children. At a certain point, those favors, those merits will expire. A bris is a covenant, a relationship, a commitment, everlasting. We love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he loves us regardless of our behavior. It would seem to be so comprehensive and so encompassing and so enduring that it would render an oath irrelevant. So why is there an oath? What's the role of an oath? Again, it's difficult because we don't live in a world in which we have too much contact with oaths. But there are three elements that an oath adds. First and foremost, is unilateral. It isn't part of a covenant. Covenants are bilateral. They suffer betrayals, primarily betrayals from human beings. Perceived betrayals, so to speak, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's standpoint. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never betrays a bris. But humans perceive it that way, either when they feel guilty and they can't imagine the bris sustaining, as the Jews probably believed in the end of the first Beis HaMikdash and in Babel, or when there are moments in which it's hard for us to imagine. We aren't able to identify our failure or our shortcomings, but we sense what the human terms can be defined as a rupture of a covenant, something as large as the Holocaust. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has reasons, and the bris is still intact, but it becomes difficult for human beings to process that bris. And perhaps, as many have suggested, the restoration of Jewish sovereignty in their homeland was in part to remind us of the sustainability and the vitality of that bris, even after the Holocaust, major change in history. Either way, bris is unilateral. Excuse me, it's bilateral. A shavua is unilateral. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes an oath. Avram contracts with the Rabbeinu Shalom an oath. And even though, as I said before, in real time, in substance, the bris is just as binding, in perception, we may feel more comfortable demanding the implementation of an oath, even when we may not feel comfortable demanding the application of a bris, depending on our fidelity to that bris. So our ability to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and request that he fulfill his oath, even at a level of perception and perspective, is an important difference between a shavua and a bris. Second of all, a bris has a sense of an overall relationship. So for example, the covenant that most of us feel most deeply in our lives is the covenant of marriage. That covenant spans economy, family, relationships, honesty, common house maintenance, raising children, caring for each other in times of difficulty, psychological difficulty, medical needs, ratifying each other. There's so many layers to a marriage, to the covenant of marriage. A shavua tends to be something much more target-specific and laser-focused. In fact, there's a Gemara that talks about, in this case, the Gemara distinguishes between a shavua and a neder, whether you can recite an oath about something which ain bo mamish, has nothing concrete about it. And the answer is you can with a shavua, you can with a neder. Can I take a shavua to breathe some air, or can I take a shavua to sing, or so? So, but that's still an action, even though it's not something concrete or palpable. Typically, a shavua is about a particular action, not just a general state of affairs. again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bris with us obligates him and obligates us to all these issues, one by one, on an individual basis. But in our davening, and in our specific requests, sometimes in the human imagination, the implementation or the application of an oath as part of a tefillah, in particular, on Rosh Hashanah, where the oath surrounds HaKadosh Baruch Hu's suppression of anger and arousal of mercy and implementation of mercy, that's something which a shvuah can convey. It's also not just concrete, it's also immediate. The bris spans history. So, in theory, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can maintain the bris, but delay implementing certain factors, maybe even has needs, not needs, but good reasons and good calculus for the delay. Whereas when a shvuah is requested, or the performance of a shvuah is requested, it's not just specifically, please perform this action, or please fulfill this promise, but it's also an expectation that it will be fulfilled at that moment. Of course, sometimes Hashem has the ability to say, I will implement the shvuah in a different arc than the one you expect. There's no expiration date, but we certainly ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to fulfill and implement shvuahs in the immediate, current sense. But that's the second layer that a shvuah adds to a bris. The first layer is that it's unilateral, and therefore human beings sometimes feel more comfortable requesting its implementation. Number two, it's more target-specific. Third of all, an oath is taken by a party not just to reinforce practical fulfillment, to ensure fulfillment and execution. Sometimes an oath, by the very fact that it reinforces the commitment, is a way of creating a relationship and love and commitment. When David HaMelech says, Nishbati va'akayema lishmor mishpatei tzidkecha, does he really wonder about his own ability to fulfill mitzvahs that he has to take an oath to lock himself in? There may be some of that. Human beings are weak and frail, and best laid intentions sometimes dissipate and vaporize. So David HaMelech is trying to create a contractual safety net and a contractual bedrock of responsibility. But, and Rav Hutter made this point, I think it's in Mamre Daled of Yom Kippur, of Pachat Yitzchak, sometimes an oath is not just to practically add a layer of enforceability and actionability, but it's to create relationship and consciousness. And so when a person sometimes in modern jargon says, I swear to something, or, it's not just to ensure the second party of the fulfillment of that task, but to demonstrate commitment and sacrifice and interest. Comes up in a very interesting Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Nitzavim. Slightly different context, but pretty much the same spirit. Rashi says, why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem tells us, why am I imposing all these oaths and bris and Allah and Shavuos? Hashem says, because I already swore that I can't exchange you and I can't discard you. So therefore, Lekachu Osir Eschem B'Shavuos Salalu, demanding all these Shavuos Shalot Takni too, please, for my sake, said, I have this, so to speak, security and insurance. I can't exchange you, so help me with your Shavuos. And this is both help me with your Shavuos so that your behavior is the type that warrants or that reflects the long-term relationship that can't be discarded and can't be exchanged, but not just that it enables it and reflects it, but also psychologically it conveys that sense of interest and commitment. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes an oath, again, from our standpoint, I don't think Hashem needs the oath to demand or to enforce a certain obligation that a bris would not. But from a human standpoint, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took an oath, it corresponds, or it's reminiscent of when human beings take an oath. And when human beings take an oath, it's not just a practical insurance to the implementation of a particular action, but it demonstrates commitment and interest. Sometimes a person is locked into a covenant they'd rather exit from, they'd rather discontinue, but they're contractually bound by that covenant. Sometimes the covenant is fully synchronous with their own interests and their own goals. And the oath sometimes differentiates between the two, demonstrates the type of interest level we have in a particular covenant. So Rabbi Berechia wanted to stress the role of the oath on Tisha B'Av. He called it Yarcha de Shavuasa. It forces us to heighten our appreciation of an oath beyond what is typically seen as the maximal form of commitment, a bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ksiva v'chasima tova.